Hey, it's Brian Hayes. Big news in Canada. Manscaped is officially launched throughout the country. It is time to fire up the best men's below-the-waist grooming option possible. That is Manscaped. You're going to feel better about yourself, and most importantly, your significant other is going to absolutely love it. Check out the website manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code Hayes, that's H-A-Y-E-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code Hayes and start trimming. We just got news in the past half hour that the Raptors are resting Lowry, Siakam, and Ananobi tomorrow night. This is just a tank-off. That's what it is. Orlando and the Raps, a tank-off. And to chat about it, amongst other things throughout the NBA, we're joined now by senior writer with Sports Illustrated. Here is Howard Beck. Can you explain it from your viewpoint, Howard? Any other way what the Raptors in Orlando are going to try to accomplish tomorrow night? Because the Raptors are resting Lowry, Ananobi, and Siakam.
I have not looked to see how many games they've played in the last X number of days as to see whether there's some rationale beyond just kind of, it's time to give up on the season.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
At a glance, that's what it feels like.
Yep. That's what it feels like. I mean, the crazy thing is they get news Zach LaVine is going to be out with Chicago, and they're a game back of the play-in spot. The Raptors are.
Yeah.
And Lowry's a different beast. He's an older guy, and he is dealing with nagging injuries. But Siakam and Ananobi are in their mid-20s, and it's not a back-to-back, and it's at home. Like,
yeah.
If you're going for it, they're playing tomorrow night. It's that simple, and they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't argue the point. I always try to be a little bit judicious about pointing fingers and saying Team X is tanking, because it's a heavy charge, and it's anti-competitive. It questions the enterprise and of the enterprise, and so I try to be careful about it. But I mean, it's hard to read resting guys in the context that you just described as anything other than at charitably a shrug, as if the game doesn't matter. And to your point, of course, yeah, they are right there on the verge of the play-in tournament. The entire point of having a play-in tournament, and not the entire point, part of the point, at least, was to incentivize teams to stay in the hunt, to play, to keep competing to the end, and not to give up because you're field. And without a play-in tournament, you could look at their record and say, well, they're six games out of the eighth seed. Yeah, we might as well start, doing whatever you have to do to set up for next year, whether that's playing young guys, which they're resting young guys. But normally, in a previous year, you would not react that much. You would say this is the norm for the NBA. But with the play-in tournament, the whole point was that teams in their position should be still competing, and it not appears.
No, it doesn't.
Howard, with the situation the Raptors are in right now, one game out of the 10th seed. What do you believe the direction should be with this group, considering the players that they have? They have players that have championship pedigree, that have playoff experience, but they also have a plan for next year. And the plan was to have cap space and to be big spenders and to sort of not rebuild but retool. With 12-plus games left, or more than that, what should the Raptors' plan be?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, this is not a young team where you can make the argument, well, we should make the playoffs because it's good experience for them. As you just pointed out, there's still a bunch of guys in this roster with championship pedigrees and plenty of postseason experience. So there's not that agenda to pursue. In terms of where they go from here, no team wants to be out of the hunt for too long. On the other hand, if you don't feel like you have a franchise star to build around, and if you've concluded that maybe Siakam is not that guy, then obviously being in the lottery can be productive. They have the cap room, as you alluded to. They originally were going to be one of those teams that I thought was going to be at the front of the pack to chase Giannis, who's no longer available. A lot of other guys are not available as well. I haven't gone deep on who's available this offseason and who to chase with the money, but they clearly have work to do. A rookie's not going to change their trajectory immediately, whoever they get in the draft or wherever they land, but they need more building blocks, clearly.
with Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated. So in terms of, you know, what the league is dealing with right now, with a condensed schedule, you know, COVID, injuries, the pursuit of a playoff spot, it feels like the Brooklyn Nets are the poster boys for the whole year, and they're a polarizing team to begin with, so everyone's got a different take on things. And they play Philly, and they, you know, Harden doesn't go, Durant doesn't go, and it's getting loud. Like, people are yelling and screaming about the Nets and how they don't care about the regular season. Where do you stand on their approach and how they're handling things, considering I think we can all concede it is about a title. Like, that's what they're trying to do here. But it kind of feels as if the regular season is somewhat irrelevant to Brooklyn.
With the exception of the Warriors, who won 73 games after winning a title, most years you can find teams that know their championship material, whether they've been to the finals, whether they won the championship, whether they just simply are a stronger, strong, talented team like the Nets. Every year there's teams that I think treat the regular season as a little bit less than the priority. Because if you've got a lot of miles on your guys, especially if you've been in multiple finals, we saw it with LeBron during his run in Cleveland. The Bucks are another good recent example of the counter where, you know, they went all out the last couple of years. They did not go as much all out, I don't think, this season, realizing that having the best record is not necessarily a ticket to anywhere. So the NBA had this problem for years already, where the top teams often don't put the most emphasis on the regular season. They rest guys. Mm-hmm. They use, you know, games to tinker. And that's fine. Like, the certain teams to get ready for a deep postseason run. It all just depends on where you are in the standings or what your reasonable aspirations are for that year. I don't think the Nets are actually an example of this, to be honest. I mean, against Philly, you know, Harden had already been out multiple games. We already knew that like, there was no chance he was playing. The one that raises eyebrows is Durant, but, I mean, context for Durant. He's missed a huge chunk of the season already with a hamstring injury and came back from almost 2-year absence after an Achilles, the most serious injury you can have. Like, there's nothing unreasonable about resting him on the second game of a back-to-back. So I think that's the wrong flashpoint for people to seize on this particular issue, though I understand it, because that was what was viewed as a big marquee game against a team that presumably you want to, you will pass in the top seed and avoid the Sixers, you know, until the conference finals. But when you have that kind of talent, getting everybody healthy is more important than positioning in the standings.
Well, Howard, you talked about getting people healthy. There's been a lot of complaints around the NBA, around NBA personnel, about the compressed schedule and how there is leading to a bunch of rash of injuries. I mean, you can point to Jamal Murray, you know, the young Canadian who's a budding superstar in the NBA who tears his ACL the other night, and other guys that, you know, are facing these type of injuries. But it's almost twofold here. The players want to get their money because in a 72-game schedule, but now they're complaining about a compressed schedule. So how does the NBA handle this moving forward, knowing that the compressed schedule is leading to a rash of injuries?
I'd always caution people that we can't definitively say there's cause and effect. The doctors and trainers can't say that either, and they will be the first to exercise caution and tell you, look, you know, here's what the stats say, here's what all these soft tissue injuries might indicate, but you can't just assume it. We don't, you know, it's an impossible thing to know. The question would be whether you have a higher rate of injuries than in past seasons. The NBA's numbers that they, you know, have distributed in response to some of these questions have indicated no, there's no clear uptick at this stage. We always have this reaction when we see guys, especially stars, go down, and it's understandable. And it may well be that this compressed schedule is leading to this, and it may well be that those fears are founded, but the players and the league decided this together. They decided on the schedule together, on the number of games, on when to start. And so, you know, it's not like this is a question of the league pushing the players into something that they didn't want to do. They all saw the opportunity to recoup some money after all the losses of last year and to minimize the losses of this season, and they did it. This is what they went for. And, you know, it was complicated by the fact that they also started right at the time when the pandemic was at its absolute peak. in December and January. And so you had all these games that were missed and games that ended up having to be postponed, which then had to be plugged into the second half of the schedule now. And that's creating a ton, you know, much more, you know, many more back-to-backs, four games in five nights, the kind of things that they've worked really hard to minimize over the last several years. They've done a great job of optimizing the schedule during a normal 82-game season, but because of the pandemic, that's all been, you know, just screwed up. And so, you know, this schedule is unusual. You know, solution? Well, the solution is getting back to normal. And so they're going to have another short off season, unfortunately, but next season, presumably, hopefully, will be a standard 82-game season spread out over the normal number of days, and they won't have as many of these issues, hopefully, and hopefully fewer injuries. But who knows?
With Howard Beck, senior NBA writer with Sports Illustrated, Luka Doncic hits one of the more creative buzzer beaters I've seen last night against Denver. Of course, Denver's been taking hits, man, with Murray done for the year. Then they lose that game in that fashion. And I guess what people are asking themselves today is that, was it a lucky shot? Was it a skillful shot because it was Doncic? For him to make that a three-pointer to close the game when he basically ended at the free throw line, pretty incredible. Where do you stand on that, Howard, based on what Luka did last night?
As soon as I saw anybody saying lucky shot, all I could think of was Vlade Divac back in 2002 calling Robert Horry's three-pointer that beat the Kings in, I think, game five of the conference finals, calling it a lucky shot, except that Robert Horry has hit clutch three-pointers all the time.
Right.
Only lucky part was that the rebound right to Robert. But the fact is Robert Horry knows how to make those shots, and Luka Doncic is a magician and knows how to make great shots and off-balance shots and weird shots. And is there a certain amount or some degree of luck in something like that? I mean, sure, I guess, but Luka Doncic can pull it off in a way that, you know, 95% of the league, maybe higher, 98%, can't. So it's, you know, if I hit that shot, it's lucky. If yeah. Luka hits that shot, it's because the dude's really skilled and has incredible body control.
That's exactly how I would apply that, and it's absolutely true. He is one of a kind right now. He's rolling. Great stuff, Howard. It's always great catching up with you, man. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
There's Howard Beck of SI. It was crazy.
Lucky
shot. See,
I'm
on skill, man. Exactly what Howard just said. If that's some random big off the bench who was trying to set a screen but somehow got the ball and jacked it up, it's a lucky shot. Yeah. Doncic, I think not only did he know what he was doing, he had the presence of mind to make sure he got it off before he stumbled over the three-point line. Yeah. He had no time to get it off. He got it off with like 0.1 on the clock, 0.2 on the clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like he banked it off the top of the backboard. Like, that was nothing but net.
He leaped into it with one foot, and he had to juke through two guys to do it.
I mean, listen, unreal.
I think looking at that shot there, I think you can factor in both luck and skill, because clearly he's a guy who's capable of making that shot, but just the way he's doing it, it's Bobby Orr-esque.
It's
flying
crazy.
Through the air. Yeah.
But, I mean, where is he on your depth chart of great players in the league? Like, is he
I think he's in the top five now. Yeah.
You know Noodles? I think going into the year, he was my pick to win the NBA MVP just because of recency bias with what you saw in the playoffs.
Right.
And I think that, like, Dallas was a weird team this offseason because you would have thought, like, free agents that were out there would have targeted that team because they wanted to play with that superstar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Dallas didn't really make any moves, which is why they struggled out of the gate. You know, they lost Seth Curry, who is, you know, one of their sharpshooters, to Philadelphia. And, you know, it's kind of like they've just been the Luka Doncic show over there. He hasn't really had a tag team partner.
No. Like, they're waiting for Porzingis to
be that guy.
Be that guy. Porzingis had a decent enough year, but Doncic is on a completely different level.
Yeah, he's,
like,
yeah,
he's a stud. He's a stud, man. And I don't know where he would rank. I'd have to look it up. I haven't looked it up for a while in terms of Vegas and the odds for the MVP. I mean, it's Nokic is a guy that gets a lot of love, as he should. Yeah. You've got
Harden,
Embiid. You've got Harden,
Embiid.
I think LeBron is probably out of it now with this injury because he is going to be out for a while. But Doncic would be there. Kawhi's still having a great year. Quiet year, you know, typically yeah. Kawhi Leonard year. But, yeah, it's Doncic is a one-man show. He's an unbelievable player.